This is Voices in the Basement with Katie
and Blake.
And this week, I am going to be the one telling the spooky story.
Yeah. Before we begin, there might be a little interruption in the middle, possibly, because we do record in Kate's basement and we're in the beautiful Midwest. We're currently under a tornado watch. So if the storm decides to hit while we're recording and the people... You have to come down in the basement and the people will come. So
yeah, and I have a window open, so we might be hearing thunder, really.
Which is fine.
Which is great. So.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited. This is one of my most favorite books. I love, the only books I have are.
Scary.
Scary books. Damn. I have a bunch of books that were written about Edna Lorraine Warren.
I thought you were going to say Lorena Bobbitt.
Lorena Bobbitt.
You know who Lorena Bobbitt is?
Nope.
The girl who cut off her husband's penis?
No. Yeah. No, didn't know.
Yeah.
Kudos to Lorena Bobbitt.
Lorena.
Lorena Bobbitt. Sorry. Anyway, so the book is a true story of the Union Screaming House. It's called The Uninvited. And Steve LaChance and Laura Longhelbig.
That looks like Helbig to me.
Helbig.
If we're wrong, just correct us.
Well, it says Stephen LaChance with Laura Longhelbig. So,
yeah.
Helbig.
Helbig. Anyway. Is it a G? Oh, it is a G.
It is a G.
So I was wrong, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to put an R in there for some reason, and there's not. Laura Longhelbig.
I've never heard of The Uninvited or The Union Screaming House. Sounds spooky as fuck, though.
I'm telling you. All right. If you're doing, uh-oh. You ever do your YouTube with like going and doing like a scary thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
This is in Missouri.
Oh really?
Right off of or around St. Louis.
Oh heck yeah! We gotta go then.
This is insane. Okay, so
you coming?
No. I can't. Mm. Oh maybe. Frank wants to go, but
okay.
So, it starts off, like, asking you spooky shit.
Asking you?
Like, making you think, really.
Oh, okay.
It's like,
it's
when
not like,
you're alone in your house, are you ever really alone?
It is completely setting the mood.
Yes.
Oh,
completely
man.
Setting the mood.
Okay.
And it's, like, asking you, like, did you really see that shadow at the corner of your eye? Or is there really somebody out of the shower when you're in it? All right. So, yeah, it starts off and does that to mentally fuck you up right away. So.
Oh.
So, definitely sets the mood. So, the house is located in Union, Missouri. It's in Franklin County. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but they said it's off of St. Louis somewhere to where it's far enough away from the big city where there's no crowds. There's no, it's not a rich little town by any means, but it's a cozy town.
Okay.
Steve has always thought of himself as like a city boy, but he never actually got to the city. He went to college and got married at the age of 23. Him and his wife had their first child pretty quickly. The child's name, see, like the names that he has in this book
are different
than they made an episode of My Haunt. It's a haunting is actually what it's called. And I think maybe. You know, just for privacy. This may not be their children's name in this book. Or in
If I'm jumping ahead, just tell me to shut up.
Okay.
Are you just talking about the author or is he part of the story?
Oh, no. The author lived this story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, he wrote this book after his experiences in this house. Yeah. So the first child in the book is named Lydia. And after like a very calm pregnancy, the mom and the baby's vitals went nuts.
Oh.
And so she went to go give her birth to her, and she had popped out and came back in and turned herself breech.
You can do that?
I did not know that. I
so
put that in here,
out,
I think.
She was
I didn't
like,
know that happened.
Ah, oh, fuck this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, she said, not today. I'm going
fuck
back inside.
Shit,
and then turned herself to make sure she wasn't going to come back out so that she had to have a emergency C-section.
Oh. Ah, can you imagine that?
No, I can't imagine that.
Basically,
she had
a complete vaginal birth just for your baby to crawl back up inside and get your stomach cut open.
Yeah, no, that is insane.
That
is insane. So
damn, baby. She's, yeah, that baby's going to be the demon, isn't it?
No. No, she is a light of joy. And but everything turned out okay after that. Their second child, Michael, was born 1 year, 6 days later.
How old is that in months? Because that's, like 12. That is. 12 days?
Yeah.
12 days.
12 months, I'm 6 days later. And it was a very easy birth. And he says that his son is a pessimist and serious, but with deep sincerity. Sincerity. Whatever, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. So, and then they have a third child, Matthew, born 8 months later.
Huh?
8 months. 8 months later.
How's that?
There is no in between time. They must have not healed. I have no idea.
We're 15 months apart, and if you do the math, that is literally the exact, that's 9 months in the exact amount of time you're told to wait.
Yep. Well, they did not, evidently.
Apparently not, especially if they had a kid. Had a kid, like almost a year later, had another kid.
No, but listen to this. The son was 24 inches long. 24 inches long and like 9 pounds. A huge baby. And he said that he's a force to be reckoned with. But he's got a sweet and gentle soul. After the last son was born, he just seen his wife's, the light in her eyes just went away. And he knew something was going on. She wasn't the same.
Sucked the life out of her.
Sucked the life right out of her. And I mean, I imagine having kids that close together and three kids under three or under four.
That's three kids?
Yeah.
In less than 2 years? Is my math correct on that?
Yeah, it's close. It's got to be close. From the
birth of child number one to the birth of child number three is...
Yeah, so it's
20 months.
Yeah.
Less than 2 years you have. Mm-hmm. Now you went from no kids to three kids, less than two.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And.
And it wasn't.
There's
like,
you got a baby, an 8-month-old baby, and the newborn.
No twins, no nothing. That's like complete carrying term and birth and labor and all that three separate times.
Yeah.
It's a lot for anyone to go to in a lifetime, let alone 2 years.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Her hormones never could level out.
Whack, yeah.
Never. And I know that the hormone ride is just terrible.
It took you a while after Audrey to get back to normal.
Yeah. I was going nuts. Like I didn't have like postpartum depression, but it's like things have gone in through my head that I will never tell anybody. That's how like crazy thoughts were at one point. I knew too at the same time nothing was true in my head. I felt like I was okay. I didn't need,
thankfully,
it.
Yeah, because I feel like some people, they're not able to separate mm-hmm. their thoughts from reality.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm thankful you were.
I know. And I
can get crazy.
How the hell did, was me? How did I? I don't know. But I think it also had to do with having such a great partner too.
Yeah.
To like,
yeah.
If I was by myself and all that, I have no idea. Would be.
Yeah.
So right after, soon after she had that last mm-hmm. child, she was like, hey, I'm leaving you. And he was just blindsided him, you know, because he thought like maybe she had postpartum depression and something like that or whatever. But no, blindsided him and was like, and you have days to get out of the house and find a new place because I haven't paid the rent in 6 months.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
She keeping the kids or
no?
She's just dipping.
No, she doesn't want anything to do. She said that it's not you. It's not the kids. It's me. I never wanted to be a mom.
Damn.
Yeah. They knew each other since they were 12 years old.
Oh.
And then for her, so like
he's completely
just his whole world has just came down. Oh, and now he has to figure out how to take care of these three kids
mm-hmm.
by himself and find a new place or whatever. His parents are great though. His parents are helping him out. And
that would be so hard. I mean, we've all been through, like, I'm sure everyone listening has been through a horrible breakup.
Oh yeah.
This has got to be like close to the top.
I couldn't imagine the pain. I could imagine So he's like, he's kind of getting set up for a perfect paranormal to just, you know.
All his spirits are low. He's completely open.
He's perfect candidate for it.
Okay.
And on top of that, I'm not sure how long after this happened, but it was after the kids were born. His sister died. Uh-huh. And his sister Jesus. Was his best friend. Like, it sounds like don't his sister now, was his best friend.
You don't go fucking dying on
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I'll try not friend. To. I don't want to go anywhere. But it just, like, almost destroyed him completely. Like, they had... She would always talk about sitting on his front porch and watching their grandkids play and how great of a day that's going to be. And
oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So she was, I mean, she was very involved.
Yeah.
And his daughter ended up seeing her aunt in the closet in a cute yellow dress
how,
after she passed
away.
How old
the daughter was?
I don't think he ever really says, you know, at what stages of.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry. Like the age. No, you're fine. Because I did try to find it. And I'm like, I don't know if I missed it or whatever. But I guess the aunt had told the daughter, like, or, you know, his daughter, yeah. don't tell dad because he won't understand. Mm. And he said, I didn't understand at the time. So they live in an apartment at first, and they find another house. And then he has an actual paranormal experience in that house where all the cabinets just got open. Did you know that a poltergeist comes from you?
No.
You are the reason for
that poltergeist. You manifest it?
You manifest it. Like, most of the time, it's like people that are under a lot of stress and, like, anxiety and everything else like that.
It attaches to you because of that?
Your energy.
Your energy
pushing it out. And you don't even know it. So you think you're fighting a ghost, but it's actually your own self.
You think that's why mom's got ghouls and shit in her closet? She manifested.
She manifested that shit. She says yeah. I did. I never did. So.
Oh, she thinks we brought it in by playing games and shit.
I never once have done a Ouija board.
Well, I a long time ago did. That was, and I think, have you ever heard of like doing it on, you do it on the back of a mirror? It's supposed to be more intense.
No! Yeah,
we did it on the back of the mirror. I don't
Where
remember.
At?
In when I lived with Addie's mom, before Addie was born.
You and her just decided to do a Ouija board on the back of a damn mirror.
Me and one of my buddies.
Creating a potential vortex.
Yeah, and we didn't say goodbye. It just, we were like, we got.
So it's your fault. I've been waiting for it the whole time.
No, I'm pretty sure it's stuck there.
What
was I saying?
Sorry.
We hadn't done any of that stuff. We don't play games. We enjoy watching and listening. Like, we enjoy all things paranormal. We don't fuck with that shit.
No.
We're not trying to invite that shit
no,
in the house.
No. That is so my worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think mom, there's probably 4, 5, 10 that she manifested.
She used to do those tarot cards. That's just as bad as a Ouija board. So she's the one that's manifesting. Okay, so back to what I was saying.
Sorry,
what was last? Okay, so the cabinets. Okay, so So then Steve gets a really good job and things start to be going good. So they end up going to find. Oh, also, he brought up that when he were to go look at open houses, if he just went with his daughter, they were more willing to rent to him. But if he'd brought his two sons with him, they didn't want to do anything. Like, it would be, it's more of a problem with more children than just one child. So he had to literally take Lydia with him. Yeah. They would stay at the grandparents.
Yeah. That's
and that's how they ended up getting.
Some sort of psychology stuff going on there with, like, a cute little girl, one child, and not the freaking gentle giant. I'm sure that 2-foot-long, 9-pound baby grew to be a big dude.
Yeah, he said he was taller than all the youngest one is the tallest of them all. So, okay, so this is where the Union House comes into play. Okay, so I'm gonna read you the insert of or the ad for the house. It says 3-bedroom house rent.
3-bedroom house rent.
3-bedroom house for rent in Union. Full in-town living, near most schools and the city park. Perfect for families. A full country kitchen with up-to-date amenities. Large living room and dining area with original woodwork intact. 2 bathrooms with mudroom. Full basement with a fruit cellar attached. Large front porch and backyard. Perfect for children. The right house at the right price for the right family. Interested, please contact. So we did. He was saying, "Well, fuck yeah, that sounds great."
I got three kids. I want them to play outside. Yeah,
three kids, three bedrooms. We're good. They got a yard. We're great. But what's weird to me is that it kept bringing up children.
Yeah.
In that ad. So the realtor is named Carl Winters, and he's a very eccentric person.
Sounds spooky.
Yeah.
Carl Winters. Winters.
Winthrop.
Carl Winthrop. Winters is a guy you read in a book who's like a killer.
Or well, the stuff. I mean, he is disgusting. Anyway.
That's a Carl Winters?
I'm just kidding. He's not really disgusting. Well, he is. At the end of you'll understand. Okay, so Carl Winters, they meet up at this house. And this little older guy, little guy, comes out with a wig on. It's like dropping, so he's got to like put his toupee back in place.
Sliding down his
face. That's what he said. He's sliding down his face, and he's got like really red lips, and I don't know if that's insinuating if he's wearing like makeup. He's just very eccentric. He's different. The house was actually built in the 1930s, so it's a pretty old home.
All right.
And as soon as they stepped foot in the house, even before they moved in, strange things started happening.
Before they moved in?
Yeah. Carl Winters, it started to get really dark, and he's like, I got to get out of here before night. I need to be home. I don't want to be in the house.
He felt something there that made him so uncomfortable. He didn't want to be there when it was dark.
No, he knows not to be there at dark.
Carl. Okay.
Yes.
Carl. For some reason, I was thinking Steven still.
No.
Oh, shit.
So as soon as they move in, shit just goes down. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Carl Winters in the basement. In the ad, it didn't say anything about a butcher's shower. Well, down the basement, there's a butcher's shower where the butchers would go to clean off all the blood and everything. Yeah. After butchering whatever. And so that way they didn't get all messed up in the house. Just remember that for later.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so.
Oh, no.
So, okay. And then the son had seen somebody in his room in the house that they were living in before.
Oh.
And
so the son is seeing somebody, one of the sons is seeing things too.
Somebody, but they didn't even go see the house. Uh-huh. So this thing is like, the same night, Steve had a nightmare of a figure demanding to be seen, and it paralyzed him.
Okay.
So
he had like a sleep paralysis.
It was kind of like a sleep paralysis, but it was all a dream.
Right.
So like in his dream, it was like,
Okay.
So, the next day, Steve is kind of in a fog from that dream because it like really kind of freaked him out. Mm-hmm. And he got a call. They got the house, but the realtor asked if he believed in ghosts, and he was like, "Well, that's kind of weird."
Yeah.
They met up face to face, and he said, "Do you believe in ghosts?" And then he wanted to leave before it got dark. Mm-hmm. And said, not everyone is able to live in an old house such as this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So the day before the move, his depression started to set in from the previous 6 years. So the kids are a little bit older right now.
Oh, wow.
So all that happened. Yeah.
This is 6 years after the
divorce. Yeah. So everything just comes crashing down on him. And then Steve has the day before the move, Steve has a nightmare of his ex-wife coming to the door with a baby in her hands. Ooh. And she gave it to him and said, basically what same she said thing. Before. And in that dream, it was just terrible for him. It was like everything he felt again.
Yeah.
I
don't think whether it would be a week, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, having that dream.
God.
I feel like that probably
it'll fuck you up for life.
It's going to hit as hard as it did as the day it happened.
Yeah. So moving in, a neighbor came to them and was like, "Hey, I hope you really get along well here." And they're kind of like, "Thank you." But the neighbors before living in this house, they were really mean and everything. And so he was like, "Well, they just must be nice neighbors."
Yeah.
But it was kind of like it was not a good thing.
Definitely, like, this is straight out of like a spooky movie. Mm-hmm. They're setting it up and everything.
Yes. I couldn't believe they lived the most scariest movie of all time. The dad didn't believe him.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, it's just a new house, basically, you know.
Yeah.
We just got to get used to stuff.
You're scared, blah, blah, blah.
And then, like, they would go to leave and do something, and they come back, and all of their lights are on. Which, so that's weird. And so he kind of was like, kids, we got to remember to keep the lights off, blah, blah, blah. Just being a dad. And they're like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And so Matthew, the one who saw the thing, is being tortured by this monster.
Oh.
It is a fucking clown.
No.
It's a clown that chases him.
I don't do clowns.
Oh, I think there's a part in the book where he's in the bathroom or something and the clown comes at him again.
No.
Yeah. I hate or that clowns. Could have been in the actual show, like something, because the actual show, like,
exaggerated.
Focused more on the clown than all the other scary shit that was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So Steve has been actually seen a older man in a flannel red shirt just staring at him at the end of his bed.
Ah.
And he just kind of shrugged it off, but was.
No.
Yeah.
You don't do that. Just like you don't see somebody crawling on your roof.
And he said, I could feel him staring at me and my children as we sleep.
What the fuck? And he didn't do anything?
Nope. And then, like, they leave again, and the lights are back on when they come home. So he calls his dad.
He's not putting all this together yet.
I honestly think deep down inside, he is.
He's just trying to.
He's trying to make excuses for it because he doesn't want his kids to be scared.
He doesn't want to acknowledge it.
Probably. Yeah. Well, who would? Me, actually. Be like, hey, there's something fucking going on here. So he calls his dad, and he says, hey, can you come look? It's starting to rain. It is starting. He's like, Dad, can you come look and see if there's anything wrong with the lights? Because every time we leave, when we come back on, or when we come back home, they're always on. Because he figured out it wasn't the kids at this point.
Yeah.
So his father checks on the lights and everything. He's like, everything's okay. And then all of a sudden he just kind of like, whoa, what's that? You know?
What's what?
Well, he just feels something.
He feels an energy.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, that's what I'm talking about. He's like, I got to go. And kisses the kids and like books it. And
why is everybody involved in this except for the family? This is where it gets really bad. Because they do that.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where it gets. Okay. So that night, they decide that they're going to have a fun day. They're going to eat. They're going to have game night. Whatever. It's going to be great for them.
Take the edge off of everything.
Game night turned into seeing shadows.
Were they playing with the Ouija board?
No, they were not. I'll go back into what happened.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
But the game night turned into seeing shadows, and it was intimidating Steve. Like, he felt it, that he was, like, the thing was, he's seen it.
Yeah.
And it was, like,
and it's
intimidating.
It's purposely fucking
up. Oh, yeah. He's like, hey, bitch, you're in my house. So they freak out.
Uh-huh.
Steve's like, let's just go, let's just go. And they're like,
Steve saw it, but he's obviously in tune to what's going on. So is he just like, let's get the fuck out?
Yeah, he's like, let's just go, kids. Yeah. Let's go.
Okay.
And the kids, I mean, they've already had their kind of experiences. Yeah, so they're like, let's fucking go, Dad.
Yep.
Okay.
Dad's seeing it now. It's real.
When Steve went to go lock the door, he heard a blood-curdling scream coming from inside the house. So loud the neighborhood dog started going off. Can you imagine hearing that?
No.
Somebody scream. That is the scariest thing to me. Somebody just screaming.
From inside your house when you know one's
no one's in there. Just screams.
I think I said no one 4 times. When you know when no one's in there.
Just screaming. Ooh, that just.
I just have that like that. The thought of that high-pitched scream sends. There's a weird energy through my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they get in the car and Steve's like, holy shit. You know, like they're just kind of trying. And then his son's like, Daddy, look, the basement monster's in the window looking at us.
Oh.
And he saw it. I just got the goosebumps. And he saw it. I think when I get really freaked out, my nose starts itching really bad. So I'm like pulling on it. So they're like, let's just go to grandma and grandpa's and stay the night tonight. So they did. As soon as they got back home to the Union house, I mean, they all told the grandparents, and they all kind of just validated everything that everybody else saw. So the grandparents are like,
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah. So as soon as they got back home and walked through the door, there was a loud boom. Like, welcome back, motherfucker. Here we go.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, okay, so they're like, they still aren't really used to the house at all. You know, they don't know the ins and outs of the house. And out back, there's a shed. Uh-oh. So they're looking in the shed, and they notice, like, there is every, like, people that have families, different families have lived there before.
Yeah.
All their possessions, like pictures, birth certificates, death certificates, and like family stuff that you get on vacations were just all stuffed in the shed. He's like, "What? This doesn't make any sense to me. Why would anybody leave all this stuff?"
I could see like forgetting pictures. You don't forget birth certificates and shit like that.
No, death. Yeah, everything like that. Yeah. Pictures, like vacation souvenirs and stuff. And it's like, why would they leave that if they're not trying to get the fuck out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just left it. Who cares at this point? Just go.
Yep.
Okay, so I wrote down, let's get down to business. So he just wants to that's exactly what I was thinking. So Steve calls Mr. Winters and he's like, "Okay, look, this is happening. We found this stuff in the shed. Has anybody ever told you about any of their experiences?"
Yeah, obviously this dude knows.
And he plays it all off. Like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And then, you know, as they're talking, then he remembers that there was a guy that used to live there that left at night, but he said he was a drug dealer. And so he's trying to run away from the police.
Okay.
Wrong. And then he said there was another girl that saw her dead father in the home. And I guess she must have booked it after that.
Can't handle dead daddy.
Nope. And then he was like, "Do you want the house blessed?" And he, at this time, he's like, "No, I just wanted to know if anybody else had experiences." I'm not sure how big of a religious guy he is. So he's probably like, "No, I don't think we need that." I think it was still kind of a denial too. I don't think we need to go
that's far. That's a little far. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for,
like, but if he didn't know anything about it, then why would he be like, "Why do you want it blessed?" Exactly.
That's what I was.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. So they decide to stay at his mom's again last night.
Mm-hmm.
Did it just flicker?
I don't know if it flickered.
I'm going to have a heart attack. Holy shit. Okay, so when they go, he puts the key into the door and they lock it. The fucking curtain goes like this. There's a being just staring back at him.
Yeah, so Kate did the motion with her finger, but it's the same thing if you would just imagine someone pulling the curtains to the side to peek out.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, okay, so now I'm going to read you another part. This is his dream that he had that night when he went to his mom's house. I don't think any of this needs to... I mean, I guess it could... Just trigger warning.
Yeah, there might be some...
It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
"It's dark. I'm standing on the basement steps. They're old, wooden, creaky, and worn. Flowered neon print wallpaper is peeling off the walls of the stairway. It's barely visible in the moonlight cast through the basement windows below. I grasp the handrail and steady myself, calming my nerves. I begin my slow descent into the moonlit darkness below. The stairs seem to go on forever, with each step I hear a familiar creak that announces my progress. I hear water running, and I'm going to investigate its origin. A few steps more, and I see a candle burning. It gives off a warm, dim glow. There is an unattended lit candle in the basement. This is only a dream, yes? Dismissing the candle from my mind, my attention turns to the sound of the rushing water. Along with the water, I can hear breathing. It's the labored breathing of a man. He is excited, perhaps even sexually. I turn back to the candlelight. The butcher shower is running. A man stands beneath it, showering by candlelight in the darkness of the basement. The water and the breathing echo throughout the basement. The man doesn't see me. I watch as he tries to clean himself, purify himself of a dark substance, scrubbing his already raw skin. His face is hidden by the shadows. His labored breathing becomes panicked, as does the pace of his scrubbing. He can't get clean. He turns. I can see his frontal torso in the light. It's blood. He is washing off blood. Is he looking at me? I can't tell in the dim candlelight, but I sense his evil eyes on me as he continues washing. The room begins to spin. The sound of his desperation matches the tempo of the rushing water. Still, the room spins, spins, spins. I can feel his eyes on me. I can't breathe. Oh my God, I can't breathe.
Good.
So that's a nightmare he's having. That day.
Someone trying to scrub blood off his
body. And he can't get clean. The guy cannot get clean. So they, I mean, so as I stated before, they stayed at their, at his mom's house. And they, when he woke up, it was 5 p.m.
Whoa.
He was like, what the hell? Oh my God. They were supposed to eat dinner with their mom.
Yeah.
And he almost slept through it.
Right.
So he kind of like freaked out or whatever.
Gosh.
So when they go back to the house, the doors start there. I think the boys fell asleep.
At their house,
Union house. Mm-hmm. And, Lydia was like in eyesight with her dad, and the door started rattling. And he was like, he was on the phone with his mom, and because he was like, don't let the kids eat all the leftovers at once, blah, 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 blah. Well, the door started rattling, and Lydia's like, that's not me. And all of a sudden, a terrible smell came around. Nice. Been there, done that.
Done that.
And then the screaming happened. Horrific. Screams that started off soft and then got to an unbearable decibel is what he said. Unbearable. Then they can feel like lightning through their body. Just the energy. There is so much energy through.
I don't like it.
Mm.
I do.
Yeah. So Steve's panicking. He's trying to get the kids. When he's running to get the kids, their bedroom door slams shut. With the kids inside.
Fuck.
The only way he got I guess the house started shaking too. It started like vibrating along with all this other shit going on. The only way he got the boys' doors open was by praying.
Oh my God.
So the boy door, their door swung open. And they grabbed each other and the two boys booked it.
Yeah.
And so Steve is like, okay, Lydia. Lydia's standing there just like paralyzed.
Frozen.
She's in shock. Steve said the only time he's ever slapped her in her life is when that happened. And she woke up and she was like, come on, we gotta go. So as they're running outside, the doors are still slamming. There's loud booms. You can hear the kids screaming now. So it's even more like, oh my God, let's get the hell out of here. The kids are traumatized. And then there's also this other screaming going on. The house is screaming. And he can feel whatever it is right behind them, right behind them as they're running out. So they all meet in the car. They all meet in the car and they're like freaking out. Then the house is loud enough to hear on the outside again.
The screams?
The screaming. And you can hear it from the outside. It's not just
inside. And the grandparents are here this time?
No.
They were just by
themselves. That's after they came home from dinner from their parents' house. So where they live, there's a hill that you can drive and you can see the house right on from on top of the hill. Uh-huh. They saw that motherfucking shadow going from room to room as if it was looking for them.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I got goosebumps again. I only get goosebumps down the left side of my body. That's weird. Okay, so the parents are like, what is going on? Let's go look. So Steve's parents come back, and they look around, and they feel that electrical feeling as soon as they walk in. And his sister-in-law is there and helps. She's like kind of a mother for the kids. She's been there the whole time. She's great. And so they're like, what is that? And then all of a sudden, they're all standing there, and they hear the motherfucker scream again.
Oh, my God.
Just screaming. And they're like, shh, just listen to it. And he's standing right next to his sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, can you just stop breathing like that for a second?
No.
And she's like, it's not
me.
So this thing is in between them.
No.
As they're standing. So the sister's like, we're just gonna head out.
Yeah. So that would totally be me too. Like, can you just stop and listen to this horrible scream?
Yeah.
Can you stop fucking breathing like that?
Right. Can you shut the fuck up? Hold your breath for a second. Yeah. They're screaming going off. So they're like, okay, let's just go. When they go to leave, his brother was like, do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what? Basically. It's in the trees.
Huh?
It's in the trees.
Who?
All of them.
All of them?
A lot of them. More of them. More of them were in the trees. And you can hear, they were jumping from the trees to where the tree branch was actually moving.
Oh my
God. Like these entities have power.
They're there.
Yeah. For sure.
They're strong.
They're like, fuck it. Boom. Let's get out. And they book it. They book it. And they say that the things chase them, I'm pretty sure. They didn't. I don't know if they can see it or if it's just like, you know.
I cannot get over these motherfuckers.
You look stressed. Your hair is all
in the trees. I'm freaked out right now. I'm stressing.
Okay. So, yeah. So they're even on the outside of the house. Inside, outside, everywhere you go, there's a demon knocking at your door.
All I'm picturing in my head is just just fucking bunch of demons outside just hanging on branches and jumping and just like taunting this family.
Yeah. Okay, so that night Steve had the same
shower dream
nightmare. Yep, the same nightmare.
Is this the guy screaming? Am I getting too far ahead?
No, you're not. You're not even right.
Guessing.
Anyway, so Mr. Winters wants to meet in prison. In person, because he's like, okay, we should just meet. And then brings his friend along, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, I'm not a believer in ghosts, but I see that you like candles. And Steve is pissed. He's like, I enjoy candles. I enjoy it for the aesthetic. Yeah. Not because he insinuated this it was witchcraft.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I caught on right before you said it. He thinks he's
bringing the shit into the goddamn house.
Seance or something.
Yeah. So
shut up, man. Candles smell good. I like candles too.
Right, me too. I love candles. Although anyway, so he insinuated that he was doing witchcraft. Uh-huh. He was like, no, basically fuck off, you weird, creepy old man. I don't do this shit. I want to know what the hell's going on. So this Mr. Winter's friend, she was like, oh, I've heard an Indian chief was haunting this place, which is the worst kind of haunting ever.
Is this house on an Indian burial ground?
Nope, it's not even an Indian burial ground.
Oh my god,
that's not it. It's worse than
worse.
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand almost. No, they don't go hand in hand, but they're
same level,
whatever, the same level. Yeah, I'll get to it anyway. Jeez. So he was like, I can't live here. Uh-huh. I need to get out.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you can't get out of the lease unless you find somebody to take over for you. And so somehow there was a family that was moving in. And he was like, I don't want another family to move in. I don't want, kids can't live in this house.
Right.
So they found a new place. And he was just like, I need to get out of this house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they found new people and then got a new place to live. A brand new duplex. Like, it was just.
How do you do that? How do you tell people? Like, how do you convince someone to move in a house that is doing all this stuff to you?
Well, he didn't have to.
Not like, how do you do it, but how do you go seek people?
Yeah, I don't know how
that. Do you want to take this lease over for me?
I wonder how that happened.
Why are you moving out? What do you tell them?
Yeah. Well, it's haunted, bitch. Go in there. I just, God, if you want
to, that's one
if you
way
want
to get out.
If you want excitement, that's get this out of is the way. Least, it.
Well, it's haunted, bitch.
Yeah,
bitch.
Okay. So the house came alive when they were moving out, and they were just trying to ignore it. Just ignore it. I mean, like, basically all the same stuff. Loud booms, the screaming, everything, the energy, the feel of it. So he actually found out that Mr. Winters lied about the family, and there was actually children that moved into the house.
Of course.
But he shows up at his new place asking for his keys, and he really doesn't even know how he knew where, you know,
the
where.
The old landlord shows up to the new house.
Yep.
To get keys back.
Didn't know how. And because Lydia was like, how did he know where to find us? Yeah. And he's like, I'm not even sure.
This dude be creepy. Mm-hmm.
So he was, this 3 years have passed. He's still having nightmares. So he thought he would go get a sleeping study done. And they're like, you have sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, is that the cause of my nightmares? And they're like, you don't dream on sleep apnea. You don't even fall asleep. You don't go into the REM and be able to do, you know, have dreams.
This dude has been dreaming these fucking scary ass nightmares for years. And they're not dreams.
Okay, so Sheila, a ghost hunter, contacts Steve because Steve's in the paranormal. He's into paranormal stuff.
Okay.
So she was like, hey, where is this house at? Because I would love to take pictures of it and go see what it, you know. So he's like, well, it's been turned into a dog kennel. Land and everything's just been turned into a dog kennel. And she was like, okay. So she goes and tries to find this dog kennel. There's no dog kennel. But there's a lady standing outside of a house. And she's like, that's got to be it. Somehow, she just put, that's got to be it.
She's in tune with it, too. She's drawn to it.
Mm-hmm. So, Helen,
oh my
this
gosh,
is the second
a
part.
Fucking, that's a horror movie name, too.
Yeah. This is how Helen comes into the story. Helen moved in with children. At the beginning of Helen's life, it's not easy. It wasn't easy for her.
Mm-hmm.
She was a hippie. She wanted to move away from her parents so she could have freedom, got with an abusive alcoholic, and had 3 children.
Sure.
she ended up getting away from that, working her way from the bottom of the prison to the very top, to where she was actually training people to become a correctional officer.
Get it, girl.
So yeah, she really turned her life around. She was doing really good for herself. And then she got married to a man named Charlie, who also had 4 children. So when they moved, her children were older. Her 3 girls were older, and then they had a daughter together. Mm-hmm. And then Charlie had 4 children. When they moved into the house, she had she had her daughter and then a grandchild from her daughter, who basically did the same shit that she did.
Okay.
So, and they're also taking care of Charlie's son, who has a problem with drugs and whatever. So they all move into the house.
Sure.
She became disabled and had to become a stay-at-home mom. So there is 5 of them living together. And this is when it comes to the Union House. Steve calls Helen, you know, because they got into contact from Kelly, whoever that was.
Yeah.
And same stories. Their
same things are happening.
Same things are happening to her. And so Steve is like, we're going to do an investigation. Just trying to help Helen because he feels bad that she even moved in there.
Right.
He was lied to.
He shouldn't have.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been in that spot.
No, never should have been in that spot. And when they have a investigation, they have a psychic, Betty, who was picked up 3 inches off the floor and thrown.
What?
Yeah. She came across a man who doesn't like people living in the house. And there is a vortex in the basement.
Mm.
And that could easily let in anything. Evil.
Oh,
I feel like evil would be more willing to go through and just wreak havoc on this plane.
Absolutely.
But this is a trigger warning. This is Kelly. She's outside of the house and she's kind of just looking around. And then hears something in a tree. Turns around to look at the tree, and it is a hanging baby by the foot. The baby's hanging by its foot, but she can tell that it's dead.
You warned me about this.
Yeah,
you told me this was going to come up, and wasn't ready
this
for
is
it.
Not, I mean, I'm never ready to hear about that, but I almost didn't put that in there, but it's kind of like, you kind of got to say that to make it how crazy this
She's
is.
Fucked up it is.
And then Steve and Helen seen it too. It was like real. They thought it was real.
They thought it was
real.
It was so.
I mean, like, it was. They didn't. They knew it wasn't real because,
right,
obviously.
Because of everything going on, but it was so.
It was
there
that it looked real.
I'm not going to have hair after this episode.
Yeah. And then they start hearing, like, a child playing alone in the house. And so he was like, oh, okay, I'm going to talk to it. It's like, do you want to come? And it was like, doing it's like, do, do, do. Like, it's just playing by itself, you know, talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do you want to play? And there was nothing, silence. And then all of a sudden, a low, loud growling came from the window. Steve and Kelly decided they were going to stay that night with Helen, and Helen never was left by herself again.
Oh, my gosh.
Helen started to become depleted. She was getting...
No energy.
No energy. It was sucking the life out of her.
Mm-hmm.
They could tell she was getting bit. And they knew she was running out of time. She was running out of time. It was really hard to find real help. You know, people would come to the house and take pictures, but then they would never come back and they would not even contact them because they were like, this is some shit that I can't even handle.
Fucked up shit in that house.
If someone always stayed with Helen, the house was on constant 10 at this point,
mm-hmm.
always going.
Just, they're not recessing at all. They're just always there.
Always there. And Helen starts to get. Starting to show signs of possession.
Oh, fuck.
She wants to kill Charlie, her husband, who she loves. She wants to kill him. They found black magic books. And they're like, what are you doing?
Where?
His name was Alex in the book, decided that he was going to bring these into the house.
Who's this?
This is a part of a paranormal research person. He was part of the group. He brings in, and he was like, it's black magic, but I'm just dabbling in gray magic. There's no such thing.
No.
He wanted Helen to give him permission to do he wanted to do a ritual in the basement where the vortex was. He wanted to bind the demons to himself.
Why?
And then take them away. Who wants to do that? I have no idea, but I feel like that freaking happened in the demon house with Zach Vegas, one of the camera crew people. But,
he didn't do it on purpose, though.
No.
It just stuck to him.
Yeah, that's true. But he wanted to do a bloodletting ritual, which means he would
cut himself.
Cut himself, and the blood would
It is yeah. attached to the blood.
Yes.
To him.
Yep. And then, so they're like, fuck you, dude. You're out.
Yeah. More, so he, don't bring your stupid fucking yeah. black magic books in here. We're and make not it
trying
worse.
To make it worse. We are trying to get this to be a house where somebody can actually live in. Well,
psycho.
So he got booted, and eventually
she wrote it. I can see her notes. There's a bullet, and it says he got booted.
He got booted, and eventually he was institutionalized, and they never heard from him again.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
dude, so psycho.
Well, I think the house. The cherry picking people. That's what they were doing. Yeah. Because, like, no, there was nothing okay, so about them before like, that.
They will attach to you if they can get to you, if they can make you weak, if they can, if you're more susceptible to mm-hmm. it. This dude came into the house willing to be open to, like, taking yeah, them with. And of course they're going to fucking attach to him.
Yes. So he just is looking for.
Fucking got what
for
he
help now. He wants to get it, the house blessed if he needs to circle.
Cirque du Soleil.
Nope.
No.
Exorcism.
Were you going to say circumcised?
Circumcision. They need a circumcision. Anyway, so they found Ken Sparks. He is a ghost hunter and a demonologist when he's done 10,000 cases.
Oh, shit.
So he's kind of like a new age Ed.
Yeah. Ed.
Warren.
Yep, there he is.
And
Annabelle, the Conjuring, right?
Yeah,
it's those movies, The Conjuring, Annabelle.
Yeah, so he agrees, like, yeah, there's shit going on there. Uh-huh. Get the house blessed and then come back to me.
Yeah,
so they get the house blessed, and they find a priest that'll do it because Helen's just like begging, like, please, please, please mm-hmm. help me. And he's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'll go do it. And then, like, blesses every room in the house, and then he skedaddles. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it didn't work. The house didn't like it. They took pictures when they were doing that. One picture showed a bunch of people coming out of the vortex.
No.
Voodoo. It's all voodoo.
Voodoo?
It's all voodoo. It's a voodoo priestess was staring into the camera. And then they're all gathered around a burning cross. Somebody's on the cross burning. So it's voodoo and demons.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's a mix of like.
It's a mix of like everything of bad. Yeah. Oh,
it was black magic.
Yeah. It was black magic. Helen worsened. The house worsened. She wanted to kill Charlie and Kelly, the lady that was staying with her. And she she was just bad. She went to kill Charlie on his lunch break one day.
The
kids seemingly helped her. Try to do it, like giving her a knife and everything, like the house controlled the kids too at this point. And she showed up at his work and was trying to said he was cheating on her and whatever, mm-hmm. and was going to try to stab him, and she was institutionalized. And then, like, all the people would come out of the rooms and be like, that's the devil woman. So Steve and his friends decided to go, like, on a hike, and it's called, like, the Zombie Road or something like that. And mm-hmm. Helen wanted to come with, and I don't know why they thought it was a good idea, but they said, okay, let's go. So Helen came and brought her demon buddies with her, and she started to act up. Helen was not fully possessed and ended up recovering, never needed an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up going to counselors and talking it through and everything else like that.
Okay, good.
And she finally gets the help that she needs. She's not at the house anymore. Helen and Steve always remain friends. And Steve continues to be a paranormal investigator. And he believes that Mr. Winters intentionally feeds children to this house.
Motherfucker.
And I know that kind of ended abruptly, actually. More than abrupt than I intended it to. But that was basically it. They went on this little hike and realized, oh my God, she's got to be... she's got to be institutional.
She's got to go.
She needs help. Yeah. They ended up getting the help. And Steve, yeah, I don't know
everybody
until this
out
day.
Okay, but this fucking psychopath of a fucking Carl Winters.
Yep.
Is just, he's seemingly doing anything he can to egg him on, to keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck. Hell.
That, and I encourage people to read this book because I did not do it justice.
Yeah.
every single part of this book is interesting.
Yeah, it's
every single book.
Right, it's a big book. We're not doing cliff notes. We're telling the story, the paranormal story, and you did freaking amazing. By the way,
thank you. It's 238 pages.
Yeah, so I'm sure it goes into complete crazy detail about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this is our podcast. Is the meat potatoes on the paranormal, and you fucking killed it.
Woo! Yeah, thank God.
If we keep doing shit like this,
yeah,
we're gonna have to record it because you got me to the point where I could not respond vocally. Like it was all facial.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, I like the scariest.
That was so
the scariest
good.
Of the scary.
Now, give me that book. So
okay, yeah. You need to read that. Good luck at home while you do it too. But
it'll be in the daytime on like weekends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening to my story.
Fucking killed it. That should have been our first episode. Yeah. That was fucking awesome.
That was good.
That was good.
I know. Now I'm like, how do I don't know where to go from here. Where do I go?
No.
But yeah, I got ideas.
There's definitely way more out there.
I got some ideas.
All right, guys. Well, good night. Try to go to bed after
that. I hope everybody sleeps well. Dream sweet.